Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. If you have your Bible, we'll turn there. You'll pray for us and we'll ask the Lord to help us. I'm going to pray, Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this day. Thank you for the Word of God. Help me, I ask you this morning, deliver the Word of God. Guard my tongue. I'd say what you'd want said according to the Scripture in the context of it. Help your church, your body this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians chapter 2. I think we really finish up verse 13. I said a little bit about 14, but I really wanted to look at that this morning. And I don't know how far we get. There's so much here that's to us, I mean, directly. You had to understand that, I know Paul preached to all men, but we'll see that, you can see that in the Scripture, and maybe not this morning, but Paul specifically was given a great dispensation of grace to preach to the Gentile people. He was an apostle called for that purpose, to preach the gospel, but specifically to the Gentile people. And the Word of God proclaims that. That's not my opinion. That's what God says in the Word of God. He did preach to other folks, Brother Aaron, but he specifically was given a dispensation, a gift of grace to the Gentile people. That's why God called him in due time, in due season. He was called for that purpose. But here in Ephesians 2, he said here in the Word of God, and I'll read verse 13 and then we'll move on. He said, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. He's writing here to the church at Ephesus. He's writing to Gentile folks, and we were afar off and we've been made nigh. And Jesus said, other sheep I have which are not of this flock, I must bring. And not of this fold, I must bring them. Other sheep, he said, in the Word of God. He said, we're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Notice verse 14. It's great scripture here, and there's a lot to be said about it, and really in the context and the meaning of what God says here in the Word of God, I want you to see by the help of God. He said, for he is our peace, Jesus Christ, he's speaking of, who hath made both one. Both who? Who's he talking to here? Who's he been talking about now? Listen, I don't have all the answers, but I do know this. If you'll rightly divide the word of truth, you must look at in the context of Scripture and who and what God's talking about, where you're reading it. And he said in the Word of God, who hath made both one. Who's the both? The both in the context of the Scripture that he's been speaking of in prior verses is Jew and Gentile people. They're two separate people here on this earth, but God said that he's made both of them one. We were outside. We were afar off, he said in the Word of God. Ye were, that's past tense, far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. We was outside of it. We done read it in the Scripture. We was outside of the commonwealth of Israel. We were not given the commandments of God. We were not given the oracles of God, Brother Robert, that God did receive as an atonement once a year, and it wasn't eternal, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but God did receive that because he gave that to the Jewish people. He did not give that to the Gentile people. Gentile people were not given sacrifices. They did not have no high priest that went behind the veil where the presence of God was at once a year. We did not have that. We were afar off. He said, now you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. And the Word of God said, he is our peace. He, who? Jesus. Not the sacrifice, not the once a year, not that earthly, man high priest, who was, no doubt, Brother Robert, appointed by God to be high priest for that time, for a time, and God received that. But he's not speaking of them. He's speaking of Jesus Christ. He is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one. Now listen, class, everybody might not believe it, that's okay. There's one body of God. There's one body of Christ. I'm not talking about And you can look at it both ways. I'm not talking about universal church as the world looks at it, Brother Robert. But I'm telling you, there is a universal church, a universal body. He's writing here to a local church, but there is one body in this world that belongs to Christ. There's not two, there's not three, there's one body that belongs to Christ. We're saved by the grace of God. He said he made them both one. We've done read in the scripture. Listen, the church and the body are one and the same. They're not separate. They're not separate. The church and the body of Christ is one. That's one person. That's one body. That's one people. It's not two different people. There's not the body of Christ, brother Aaron, and then the church of God. No, they're the same. They're the same. The church of God. He said that in the Word of God. He said the church, which is his body. They're the same. That's who he's speaking about. When God speaks of the church and he speaks of the body in the Word of God, Brother Robert, he's speaking of one and the same. They're the same people. He said here that he has made both one. Notice this. And there's several things here I want to say about this. And don't cut me off and hear me through, and I'll say something about some other scripture, because he's speaking here of what Christ has done. He hath made both one. We didn't, Jews didn't, Gentile. In fact, Jew didn't have nothing to do with the Gentile people, Brother Robert. They were commanded and told not to have anything to do with them. And that was one of Peter's problems, y'all know from the scripture there. And God had to show him that there's nothing unclean. Thank God that he had touched, that he had anointed, he had appointed that wasn't unclean no more. Thank God it's been made nigh by the blood of Christ. That's you this morning. He said, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Between us. Well, now listen, don't. You can say here that there was a wall, but it wasn't a wall. It wasn't a wall really that was between us and God. It was a veil that was between us and God. And that's okay if you want to look at it that way. But in the context of the scripture, what he said here, broken down the middle wall partition between us, the wall was between the Jew and the Gentile people. We did not have access to God. We did not have, you had no access to God. None, not whatsoever. You was in this world without God and without hope. You had no access. The Jew did have access to God, the way God that God gave them that. They had the sacrifices. They had the commandments. They had the ordinances. They had all that God gave them. And then once a year, he said that wall was between us. We had nobody to go behind the veil where the presence of God was at. Never. Not one time did we have that, Brother Rob. All them years that God gave them that, and they performed that. Leading up to the birth, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, leading up to that. God received that, but all them years, and I don't know exactly how many years it is, but I can tell you not one time, not one year did Gentile people have anybody to go behind the veil for them. Not one time. You say, what happened to them? Well, listen, if anybody not saved by the grace of God dies without God and ends up in a devil's hell. That's reality from the Word of God, and they're without excuse. Man's without excuse. God didn't do wrong, man did. And man's paid for it ever since, because God's a just God. Fortunately for us, by the amazing, much more abounding grace of God, Jesus Christ paid your price for you. That's exactly what he did on Calvary. He died in your place. He took your appointment. He took your punishment. He took the very all-out wrath of God upon him for you, for sin. He said here in the Word of God, and I'm trying my best to not get way ahead of myself. He said, broken down the middle wall of partition between us. There's a wall between you and Jewish people that you could not get through. It was unbreakable. You wasn't allowed. In fact, Brother Robert, I never see no account of it in the Word of God. It wasn't given to them. They had no place. I never see no account where anybody did it, but I can tell you, And there's a lot of ifs, and you can't go by ifs. I'm gonna inject a little bit of remonology in here. If they had done that or even tried, Brother Robert, God would have killed them. In fact, the Jewish high priest, if he went behind the veil and wasn't right in accordance to the way God told him to go behind the veil, he dropped dead by the power of God. Because God, listen, there was the holiness of God. You got to see behind the wall that was between us, was between us and the Jewish people, because we did not have the access to God that they had. We didn't have it. God didn't give it to us. It wasn't given. It wasn't afforded. It wasn't appointed. It was never laid out to us without God, without hope in this world, period. No access to God, Brother Aaron. You have it this morning. You did not have it before Christ. Didn't have it. He said here in the Word of God, he said, the middle wall partition between us, I'm going to get there, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. He said he abolished it. He did away with it. It's not there. I'm getting there. Within this abolishing in his flesh, Christ broke down that middle wall partition, and now instead of two people on one on one side of the wall and one on the other side of the wall, the wall has been broken down, Sister Linda, and now we're together. We're one. Thank God we've come together. You could not cross over onto that side. There's commanded not to cross over onto our side. You could not get to the other side. There's a wall there that God put up, and now he's broken it down, and the Word of God said that he abolished in his flesh. He abolished. He done away with it. He banished it. It's gone. To abolish what it means. So no more. Destroyed it. We could abolish something this morning, Brother Robert. We could pile it up in a heap and we could burn it, and then it would turn to ashes, and then the wind would blow it away and you'd not see it no more. It's gone. It's like it never existed. He abolished it. He destroyed it. He said, I'm doing away with it. He said, in his flesh, the enmity. What was the enmity? Was the enmity enemy of us, the enmity between us. Notice this, he said in the Word of God, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That's what he abolished. There's the enmity. The enmity, Brother Robert, that we didn't even have. They were given, but it never afforded them no eternal presence with God. It was received because God gave it. And if you want I don't think it is. This is what I believe. I believe that it pleased God. And it appeased God for that time. For that time, Brother Rock, for that time. But there was no, the Word of God, it says God don't have pleasure in them sacrifices. But what he's saying there is he never had no eternal pleasure, pleasing of God. It never satisfied him. He never saw no travail of soul in that and was satisfied. It had to be the Son of God. He said here in the Word of God, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. That's enmity to you, church, this morning. Child of God, that's enmity to you. The law and commandments and the ordinances of God are enmity to you, towards you. You cannot keep them. And in fact, Gentile people, never was given to you in the first place. Yet you're responsible to God. That's a rough enemy right there. That's rough enmity, Brother Robert. You're accountable to God, but it's never given to you. You know, this morning, child of God, saved by the grace of God, and you can account for this. I can assure you that you could testify of this, because there was a time you was in this condition. The worst thing, worse than being lost, is that you don't know you're lost. But you're accountable to God. You'll stand accountable to God. If a sinner dies, lost without God, he'll stand before God. He'll face the judgment of God. And whether he ever knew he was lost or not, he's still accountable to God. He's without excuse according to the Word of God. No man will stand before him. Nobody's going to get in by anything with some excuse and something they lay before Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Listen, that's enmity between us, and he said that he abolished that. He said, notice this, why? For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. That's why he did it. Listen, the law, the commandments, the ordinance was given to Jewish people, but it did not afford them no eternal peace with God. It was not given to us yet we're accountable to God. So what did Jesus do? He abolished that in his flesh, and he said he made in himself, there's your position in Christ, in himself, he said here in the word of God, of twain, that's two, we know that, one new man, so making peace. So you see what it is, all that's pointing to Christ, Sister Linda. All that was given to Israel, all that was given to Jewish people was pointing to the ultimate Savior, thank God. The one, thank God, that, listen, did not, if you'll hear me, did not do away. How did he abolish that in his flesh? How did he abolish it? I'm tell you how he abolished it. He fulfilled it. And he died sinless for them that had sinfully broke the law and the commandments and the ordinances of God. That's how he abolished it. That's how he took that out of our way. Now that we never was given, and it was a wall between us and them that it was given to, now it's taken out of the way. It's gone. The wall has been broken down, and the what's between you and God has been abolished in his flesh. He did that, Brother Robert, because he fulfilled the whole law of God. He lived perfect, and he died for them that's not perfect. That's how he built this in himself. That's how he brought it together. He said in the word of God, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. There's Jew and Gentile. Now, great scripture. I read it the other night, and I'm going to read it again. Please, don't take my word for nothing. Rightly divide and see what God says in the word of God. He said this in the word of God, and he's talking about circumcision. I'm going to read a few verses of scripture in Galatians chapter 6. And he's giving them the same scripture. They wanted to go back. They wanted to go back into Judaism and go back into that law, Brother Robert, and not rest in the grace of God and what Christ had done for them. In Galatians 6, and they're speaking about it here, and again, he's relating here. He is relating to them that was given the law and them that's not given the law. He said here in the Word of God, he said, but verse 12, as many as desire, Galatians 6, to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised. They constrain you to be circumcised. He said, a fair show in the flesh. Only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now you got to realize the early saints, the early church, especially Brother Robert, Jews that were saved by the grace of God, and then made open, I think, really open confession and open association with Gentile people. See, that never was allowed, Sister Linda. That was a no-no. That was a taboo. You don't do that. God said, don't do it. Now it's different now. He said in the Word of God, they constrain you unless they suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. They suffer great persecution for the cross of Christ when they're saved by the grace of God. Notice this, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Something that you've done by hand. Listen. The spiritual circumcision is not that that's made by the hand of man. Ain't got nothing to do with it. Nothing. That's right. That's God's cutting of the heart. The circumcision made by the hand of God, not the hand of man. He said that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Now here's the verse. He said in the word of God, he said himself of twain, one new man, so making peace. Twain, one new man. Verse 15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. There's the new man, Sister Linda. There's the new man. Listen. The commandments and the laws of God, Brother Todd, that God gave to Israel and that he did receive once a year if they did it the way God said do it. God did receive that. But that never did make them a new creature. It never did make them a new man. There's a lot of saints of God that died in faith of the coming Christ. We'll see it. You can read it in Romans. He talks about, and Brother Hyatt read it the other night in Luke, about how the prophets and how them of old talked about and foretold of his coming. And this ain't really it, but there's one coming, thank God. This is pointing us to him. And them saints died in faith of the coming Christ, and they believed by faith what God told them, and they did what God told them by faith. Wasn't just a ritual, but by faith they were obeying God, and they died in faith of that, and they went to paradise, and Jesus went and got them out. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. Y'all know what the Word of God says. They were there, and Jesus got them out because they died in faith, believing God, and ultimately believing on the coming Savior. That's who they believed in. I'm going to tell you, this is what I believe. You might not believe. Brother, when they went on the other side, when the high priest went behind the veil once a year, you know who he saw? Jesus. He saw God. Presence of God was there. He's the only one could go. Now, I'm getting to it if you'll hear me. He said here in the Word of back in Ephesians, and that he might reconcile. That's more, listen. That he might reconcile. This is not a temporal atonement. This is not an appeasement for 1 year. This is not a pleasing God for 1 year. This is not satisfying God to God for 1 year. It is eternal. He said in the Word of God, and that he might reconcile us. You was apart from God. You was away from God. You had no hope. You had nothing of God. Nothing. You had nothing. He said, and that he might reconcile both, Jew and Gentile, both of us, unto God in one body by the cross. Listen, what they was given and what they kept on them that was on the other side of the wall did not reconcile them to God. And we wasn't on the other side of the wall to even attempt to do what the God had given them, and we were not reconciled to God. Jesus dying on the cross, he said here in the Word of God, he said that he might reconcile both, who? Both, them and us, unto God in one body, one. He's made one. He's took of twain and he's made one. One body here. I know some folks think that he's talking about his own body. His literal body that he walked here on this earth. He's talking about his spiritual body, his church body. The church is who he's speaking about here. That he had reconciled both. He said, reconcile both unto God in one body. How did he do that? By the cross. That's how he did it, Sister Linda. That's how he did this. That's how he brought us together. He brought us together, two of us, into one body. And at the same time, reconciled us, you to God, them to God, by the cross. He died on Calvary. He reconciled us. We was apart. We had no reconciliation with God. We was sinful man from Adam. We had no way to get to God, be reconciled. Listen, if Israel did not go back next year, this year meant nothing. You can believe that or not. If they did not go, if they went today, if today was the day, if they went and they did everything perfect, God told Sister Linda, God said, I'll receive that. You're accepted. I'm appeased. I'll receive this. I'm pleased for 1 year. I'll see. I'm paraphrasing. I'm putting in my words. I'll see you in a year for this same purpose. If they did not go next year, what they did today meant nothing. It was gone. It had no reconciliation power in it. They was outside of God. And they faced the judgment. God, the penalty of God was upon them because they did not do it. They had to keep doing it. He entered in once to the holy place. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood entered he once, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He did that. How did he do that? By his cross. He reconciled us both to God. So see, it's not in a Jew or Gentile. It's not in a circumcision and uncircumcision. It's not in the commandments and ordinances, or not in the commandments and ordinances. It's not in that. He said, it's not in none of that. He said, but in Christ Jesus, it's a new creature. That's you. He is a new creature that's in Christ. You're a new man. That's right. New. It ain't in what you done or didn't do. It's that you're a new man, a new man, a new creature in Christ. He said here in the Word of God, he did this by the cross, having slain the enmity. There's that enmity again, thereby. Now, I couldn't slay that for you, Brother Robert, because I'm just as guilty as you are. Wouldn't do me a bit of good to die for it. I'm talking about in the eyes of God for eternal peace and peace with God this morning. Wouldn't do me a bit of good to die for none of y'all or none of y'all to die for me, because I'm just as guilty as y'all are and y'all just as guilty as I am. You're just as imperfect and I'm just as imperfect. So what good would it do for me to die for you, Brother Aaron? It wouldn't do a bit of good. It don't accomplish nothing. He slain it. He slain it. He took this, thank God. He destroyed the enemy. He slain the enmity thereby by his cross, because he's a perfect, sinless Son of God, tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He walked this earth. God Almighty himself, the fullness of God in a body of flesh, walked sinless, thank God. Perfect, and then he died. He became sin, the Word of God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He became sin for us. He died as a sinner, yet he wasn't a sinner. He took the whole air. Listen, he didn't just die for my sin, your sin. He died for every sin that's ever been committed, ever will be in the time of man. Every sin, you say, them that went to hell, yeah, he died for every sin. I understand, Brother Robert, I understand the grace and mercy of God. God said, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. What I'm telling you is the power that was in the cross of Calvary, thank God, that he slain. He died. Listen, every sin that's ever been committed, listen, the wrath of God was upon him. All out, no restraint, punishment of God. God said, I've got to punish it. I can't let it go by. I can't sweep it under the rug, Brother Robert. God's not that way. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And no man had no chance. God loved man as his greatest creation of God was man. All that he created, man, if I can put this, man's the apple to eye. Man's the prize possession of God, if I can say that this morning, because he created us in his own image. He took us out of nothing and made something, thank God, in his own image. But that man had no chance to get to God. God said, I've got to punish it all. And he did on Calvary. Man didn't do that. The hand of man was in it. But God did that. He said it pleased him, Brother Robert, to bruise him. It pleased him. It brought pleasure to God to bruise him. He saw the travail of his soul was satisfied. He saw that. When Jesus was in the garden and the sweat and the great drops of blood, he was praying to the Father. Oh yeah, you can believe the Father saw. The Holy Ghost saw. God saw the travail of his soul. God saw the travail of his soul. A great travail when he was being punished now. Don't belittle that. There's great travail in the garden when he's praying unto God. You're talking about God, but you're talking about man also, Brother Todd, and he knew what was coming, every bit of it. Every lash, every spit, every slap, every mock, every stripping of his clothes, every thorn in his head, every bit of that. Not one speck of that did he not already know. You know what's one of the worst things? Now, this is such a pitiful example, but I'm going to say it. You can get hurt, and it hurts, but if you know you're about to get hurt, it really hurts. I'm not scared of needles, Brother Robert. I'm not. But if I go to the doctor and get a shot, I would never look at them stick me in on. I'll turn my head so I don't know when it's actually coming. Because if I know it's coming, I'm going to draw up or I'm going to. You see what I'm saying? That's just something small. The flesh has beat off our Lord, and he knowed every time it's going to hook in him and rip it out. every time. He knew the timing from the time the man wound up, how long it would take to hit his back. He knew every bit of that. What was that, Sister Linda? It was the all-out wrath of God on him that he might slay this, that he might break this down, that he might take it out of the way. He might slain the enemy thereby. He said, listen, he said, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off. You were afar off, now you're made nigh by the blood of Christ. Speaking of the same people here. He said, peace to you which were, past tense, afar off. Notice this, and to them that were nigh. There's the one. There's the two. There's the one. It's the same peace with God, peace of God, same gospel, same message, thank God. You see, they had what God gave them, but they not yet did they have what was needed, if I can put it that way. Jesus. He came and preached to Jew and Gentile. He said he came to his own received him not. And he did, thank God, there was a turning to Gentile people. And Paul, again, was specifically called for this purpose to us. Now, I did not say again that he did not preach to people other than Gentile people. I'm saying the dispensation of grace given to him was to us specifically for this purpose. He said, peace to you which were far off, that's us, and to them that were nigh. Now, listen to this. I wrote this down in my Bible, and I hope you can understand it, and this is really what I've been trying to say. The Jewish people, a high priest once a year went behind the veil. We didn't have that opportunity, Brother Todd. This is to them only. There was the presence of God. Gentiles did not have that. This wall, they had the access to God and we had none. That's the wall that's broke down. Now we have access to God and they have access to God. There's no wall between us. There's no wall between us. And how that took place, Sister Linda, how that is, how the wall is broken down, how we both have access to God, Brother Todd, is because the veil is rent in twain. In fact, this morning, child of God, body of Christ, you are a priest and king. And we have access, Sister Linda, into the high priest, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Because that veil is no longer there. It's rent in twain. It opened up. This has been broken down. It's been taken out of the way. That was between us and Israel, and ultimately that was between us and God, has been broken down. It's been abolished. It's been slain. The word of God said here that Jesus slew that. He said here in the word of God, having slain the enmity thereby. Thereby how? The cross. And he preached peace to you which were afar off and them that were nigh. Now, we're both one. There's one body. Now, if you want to look at it the way man might look at it, but I find no evidence, Brother Aaron, in the Word of God, where God has a Jewish body and a Gentile body. He has one body. He has one body. Now, you can say those folks, according to the flesh, Sister Linda, they're Jewish people, and according to the flesh, they're Gentile people, but this ain't a fleshly body. This is a spiritual body that he brought together in Christ. He's not speaking about no natural body here. He's not speaking about, you can say this morning, I can say this morning, as far as I know, I'm not of Jewish descent. But he ain't talking about that. He ain't speaking of that, Sister Linda. That is on the other side. That where we'll be in the presence of God. We're going to have a glorified body. I don't know a whole lot about it, to tell you the truth. Other than I'll be made like him, for I shall see him as he is. I know that. But it ain't going to be this. This ain't going. And who your mom and dad and your grandpa and your descendants all the way back to Adam were won't make no difference. It won't make a hill of bean difference. Don't matter. In fact, what did he do to get called out? Nothing. God did it. What'd you do to get called out? Nothing. God did it. It's not of man. He said here in the Word of God, and to them we might not notice this. For through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit. God is a Spirit, and the Lord is that Spirit, and the Holy Ghost is Christ's Spirit, Spirit of Christ, by one Spirit unto the Father. Now we have access. Not by an appointed, anointed, ordained, manly high priest that goes before God, and they're the only ones that can. I don't know a whole lot about it, church. I don't know a whole lot about it, but that has to be where Catholicism gets some of their ideology. It has to be. Has to be, Brother Todd. I'm going to tell you this much. You ain't got to sit behind no box and talk to nobody. Sister Linda, you can talk to God going down the road, sitting in your chair, cooking some pinto beans, messing with your flyers or whatever. There ain't got to be no specific place. They did, Jewish people, they did. They had a place where God met with them in that tabernacle. God, that's where God was at. And that's where they had to be to meet with him. But all that's out of the way. All that's been moved. All that's been taken, because through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus said this, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get there. You don't have no access to the Father. There's a lot of depth in that. I'm not going there this morning. He said, but through him. Brother Todd, Jesus, the word through takes the meaning of way. Jesus said, I am the way, truth and life. That's what takes the meaning of. For through him, he's the way. The way to the Father is through him. Listen, how do we have that access through him this morning? By the Spirit of God that lives in you. He testifies of him to you, Sister Linda. And your language to God goes by him through Christ to the Father. The language of God. Sometimes, maybe you hadn't, if you saved long enough, it'll happen. Sometimes, Sister Linda, we ain't got no words to speak out of our mouth to God. But there's groanings down in the depths that the Holy Ghost hears. That's where he's at, Sister Linda. The Holy Ghost understands. And if y'all will allow me to say this morning, there's translation of a spiritual language that goes from your heart to the throne of God, because that's where he ever liveth to make intercession for you. That's where he's at. The high priest is in the throne room of God, and there's open access that you have. And when you can't even speak the words, there's groanings. Now, I'll tell you this, what I believe, and it's okay. Again, I'm not really trying to get into this. Holy Ghost is in you. That's where he's at. The Word of God said the Father would send the Comforter. Jesus said, I'll send the Comforter. Not going into all that this morning. I and my Father are one. The Holy Ghost is in you. And by him, through Jesus Christ, the Son, there's access to the Father. It does look to me like in the book of Revelation. It looks to me like in the book of Revelation. When the book is open, that there's only one worthy to open. Remember, John was tearful and fearful and worried because they couldn't find nobody worthy to open it. Couldn't break the seals and open the book. But there was one, a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And it looks to me like that he's a standing and there's one that hands him the book. Now, this is around the throne of God. In the book, in the context of that book, Revelation, this is around the throne of God. It looks to me like that the Father and the Son are there. He speaks of the Spirit of God too. The Holy Ghost is in you right now. He said in the Word of God that he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, you can read that over in Revelation if you want to. I'm not going into it now. You can bring that all together in Scripture. What I'm telling you is the Holy Ghost is in you, whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. If you're saved, born again, you're in the body of Christ. If both of us has been made into one, we both have the same access by the same Spirit, who is the Holy Ghost, is the Spirit of Christ. That's who he speaks of, through the Son of God to the Father. That's what he says. Now, man can believe that if he wants to or not believe it. That's what he says here in the Word of God, Brother Robert. He said, for through him, listen, the Son is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's who came and died on Calvary. Fullness of God. But you can't deny the Father's in heaven. The Son's here on this earth. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. The Father's who said that. Didn't nobody else say that? That wasn't no angel. That was the Father. He said, this is my beloved Son. Through him, Jesus Christ came and abolished this, broke this down, slain all this that was in between us and the Jewish people and ultimately between us and God. We had no access. We didn't have the access they had. They had no eternal access. They had no eternal reconciliation in what they had, but we didn't have that. We didn't have nothing. Nothing. We've been made one. He's broke it down. He's abolished it. He's slain the enmity thereby. And we have through him, we both, Jew and Gentile, we have access by one Spirit, the Holy Ghost, unto the Father. There's one Spirit, one baptism, one body. See, he is. It's one body. There's not two bodies, church. There's not a body on the other side of the world and a body on this side. There's not a United States body and a Russian body and a China body. It's all one. If he's saved, born again, he's brought it all to one. It gets so great in these following chapters. He really speaks of this. Let's, church, here's the ultimate goodness to your heart, what it ought to be. You had nothing, now you have everything. You had nothing and no way to get any of it. Nothing. Can you understand that we was not even given that what God would be pleased for with every year? That, Brother Robert, that if they by faith believed in that If you believe God, then you obey God. That's what happened in the garden. They didn't believe God. They disobeyed him. Sin came into the world and death by sin. They had that and was given that, Sister Linda. And if by faith they obeyed and followed that and believed by faith and that was looking towards Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even given that, Brother Robert. We wouldn't even given that. We wouldn't even afforded the opportunity. None of it. Not one time. You're talking about outside the fold of God. Gentile people is outside the fold of God. Now, not in the eyes of God. I get it. I understand. He was always his. But you know what I'm saying? The Word of God, what he's saying here in this Word of God, that was not given to us, never was, never had one speck, never was afforded that opportunity, never had no high priest that you could not give this sacrifice. And then that high priest would go behind the veil for his sins and yours and make a temporal, if I can say that, a year-long reconciliation between y'all and God. And that wasn't eternal. It had to be done over and over and over again. But listen, Gentile people, you wouldn't even given that. You're talking about the mercy of God. Jewish nation was the nation chosen here on this earth. Now you this morning, child of God, and I'm finishing, I'm closing. You were chosen. You were chosen, but child of God, you're more than that. You're the elect of God. It's really two million. What was in our way, Sister Linda, God took it out of the way. The only way he could do that was to go to Calvary. It had to be. There's no other way. Because God is just and holy. And he says, that sin that's in man, he said, I'm requiring payment. There's no getting out of it. It's got to be done. And all after God punished his son, that he might break down and abolish and slay that was between us and a natural nation, and ultimately between us and God. God bless you.